If you're using your tax-free savings account as a savings account and you have non-registered money invested, we want to make sure you're looking at how can you get those investments to your tax-free savings account. The timing might be good to do it now if you haven't done it, because capital gain taxes look like they're going up June 25th. So if you have to pay some capital gains anyway, it might be a good time to do it before June 25th. The point is, get that money into a tax-free environment where it can grow tax-free.
Welcome to the only show that simplifies the complicated world of retirement planning while embracing life beyond the numbers.
Expect clear insights,
accessible tools,
expert interviews,
and actionable advice,
empowering you to use your values as a roadmap to your ideal retirement.
No MBA required.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Your Retirement Planning Simplified. I am Joe Curry, along with my co-host, as always, Lindsay Wilson. How are you, Lindsay?
I'm great, Joe. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Excited to get another episode with just the two of us on here.
Yeah.
Pretty excited that we've saw most of our clients here lately, which has been great to catch up with everybody and stay on top of their planning. So that's been fun. Some things have come up with planning through some of those meetings, which I'm sure will lead to some future topics on the podcast, which is always great because we love getting real life, I guess, examples, how we can kind of take that wisdom we're sharing or those questions that are coming up and answer them on the podcast.
On that note, listeners, send us your questions, send questions, issues, problems, send them our way, and we'll be happy to tackle them on the podcast.
Absolutely. And I also have, which I realize now you can't see, but some of our core values up there. When Lou, my son, was in watching me put our core values up, he was making his own sheet for us. So
that's delightful. That's so nice.
But anyway, we can see highlighted at the top is approachable, which is, as we've mentioned on the podcast a few times, why part of why we do the podcast is because of our core value of approachability.
Absolutely.
So Lindsay, what are we talking about today?
So today we're going to look at 8 TFSA mistakes retirees and retirement savers make.
Okay.
I'm going to jump right into number 1. It's using your TFSA as a savings account.
That's right. So, and I'm sure that some of you listening are already doing this. And a lot of people have the understanding that a tax-free savings account is to be used as a savings account. So much like when we have a checking account that we use for our day-to-day spending, often at the bank, we'll set up a savings account where we put some extra money, whether that's for an emergency fund or just extra kind of cash flow we don't want sitting in our checking account because maybe we're going to use it for a bigger purchase in the future. So what's happened since the tax-free savings account was introduced is a lot of people have just used this tax-free savings account for that same purpose. And I don't know if this is actually true or not because it's been so long since TFSAs came out, but I remember hearing that tax-free savings accounts, it was lobbied by the bank to have them called savings accounts as opposed to what they were originally going to be called, which was a tax-free investment account. Mm-hmm. So again, I can't say for sure that that's true, but I've heard that story a few times. Mm-hmm. And so that kind of explains why people think it should be used as a savings account is because it's right in the name, right?
Absolutely.
So just to make sure anyone's listening is we can kind of get rid of that myth right now is that while you can use it for a savings account, it's much more beneficial to use it as an investment account because all of the growth, any interest, any dividends paid in that account, it's all tax-free. And when you take it out, it's still tax-free. So it's not that you can't use it as a savings account, but you're better off using an actual savings account, probably a high interest savings account somewhere other than the big banks to accumulate your savings for your emergency fund or opportunity fund and keep your tax-free savings account for longer term growth, right? Now, the one caveat to that is if you don't have extra cash flow to be investing and you know what, maybe it does make sense to keep some money in there as a savings account. But if you have money invested elsewhere, like a non-registered account, you want to be using the tax-free savings account for that piece of your portfolio and keep your savings in a non-registered savings account.
Right. And how about number 2, using your TFSA as your primary retirement savings vehicle as a high income earner?
That's right. So sometimes, not sometimes, a lot of the time, we've actually done a podcast on this. People will tell us how much they hate RSPs by the time they get to retirement, right? Because sure, they didn't have to pay tax while they were working, but now they're trying to take these out of their, or the money out of there to create an income in retirement and they have to pay tax on it. Mm-hmm. And so they don't like that. Or maybe they're settling their parents' estates when they've passed away and there was a whole bunch of tax had to be paid on those RSP or RIF accounts. And so people get the idea that, you know what, I'm not going to use RSPs for my retirement savings, I'm just going to use tax-free savings accounts. So specifically, if you are a high income earner, or we know you're going to be making less money, or you're going to be a lower tax bracket in retirement than you are while you're working, for retirement money and retirement savings, you're still better off using that RRSP because you're getting a deduction on your income. So if you make $100,000, you put $10,000 into your RRSP, you get a $10,000 deduction and you only pay income tax on $90,000. Mm. So that means the $10,000 goes in there tax-free, so you haven't paid any tax on it. You're growing it tax deferred. So you pay no tax on dividends, you pay no tax on interest. And as your investments grow and there's capital gains there, you do not pay any tax on the capital gains. So that's all great. And then yes, you do pay tax when you take it out in retirement. But for most people, especially high income earners, they're going to be in a lower tax bracket when they get to retirement. So that means, you know, maybe you're making $100,000 while you're working, but once you get into retirement, you don't need to take as much money in most cases because you probably don't have a mortgage now. You're not saving for retirement. Your kids are out of the house. So there's, you know, lots of reasons you're going to be spending less money. And so when you're managing your income and you're taking it out of your retirement accounts, you're going to be in a lower tax bracket than when you were making that $100,000 working. So maybe now you're, you know, taking out $60,000. Obviously, that's just an example. It's going to be unique to your situation, but that is what we typically see. Mm. The other thing is you also have the ability in certain cases to split income with your partner if you're in a relationship. So if you have a defined benefit pension before age 65, you can split that income, that pension income with your partner. And then after age 65, any kind of like RIFs. So when you take your RRSP, if you turn it into a RIF to create an income stream, that's considered pension income. You can split that. So you have a lot more maneuverability in retirement to lower that tax bracket. Plus you don't need as much money generally. So you're taking less money out of your accounts. With the tax-free savings account, it's still great. So don't get me wrong. You can save in that account. It's all tax-free, but you're putting it in there after tax dollars, right? So you make the $100,000, you have to pay tax on all of it. So, you know, at the top of the tax bracket, that $10,000 you're saving, you're going to pay about 43% tax on that if you're in Ontario, I believe is what the number is. So that means you're only really keeping just under $6,000 of it to put into the tax-free savings account. And then, yeah, it grows tax-free. You pay no tax on that growth. So that's all great, but you put less money in there to grow in the first place. Mm. Okay. So I think that's probably enough on why to not use it as your primary savings vehicle if you're a higher income earner.
And I think number three kind of speaks to the maybe the flip side of that is not using TFSAs for retirement planning.
Yeah, that's right. So the exact opposite of what I just talked about. So in some cases, depending on where your income is, there may be scenarios where your income actually isn't going to drop a lot in retirement. So in that scenario, tax-free savings accounts could be a good option. Now, also, a tax-free savings account is going to give you some more flexibility in withdrawals in retirement. So if you need to take a big lump sum out in retirement, you don't have to pay tax if you take it out of your tax-free savings account, where you do if you take it out of your RIF or your RRSP, right? So if there's a scenario where you actually do need more income than while you're working because you have a big purchase coming out, it's going to be better to take it out of the tax-free savings account, right? Or maybe you are a high income earner, but you also have a really good defined benefit pension. So you really don't have a lot of RRSP contribution room. So even if you wanted to put money in RRSPs, you can't. So in that scenario, tax-free savings account is going to be a great place to have excess savings going. So the point in having these two kind of back-to-back mistakes is that you really want to make sure you're looking at your situation and thinking about the tax consequences or the tax opportunities for your retirement planning and make decisions today about where you're saving based on what your income might look like in retirement, right? So and that's really where planning comes in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now let's look at mistake number four, over-contributing.
Okay. So sometimes, and this is becoming a little bit less of an issue, but especially earlier on, people didn't understand the kind of the maximum level you can put into a tax-free savings account. So they would just, you know, put money in. We're talking about that savings account piece, right? Kind of just put any excess money in there. But the problem with putting more in than you're allowed to is that there's penalties. So every year, the government tells us how much additional money we can add into our savings accounts. So for 2024, this year, there's an additional $7,000 of contribution room. So if you had maxed out the funding up to the end of 2023, this year, you're then able to add another $7,000. Now, if you put more money in than that, so let's say you've over-contributed by $10,000 because you weren't paying attention or you didn't understand the rules or whatever it is, every month that you're over by $10,000 costs you $100. So if you put an extra $10,000 in at the start of the year without realizing it, and it stays in there the entire year, then it's going to cost you $1,200 in kind of a penalty tax, right? And assuming you don't take it out it'll just continue to roll over to the next year, right? So that's definitely something we want to make sure we're paying attention to. And you can find out how much contribution room you have if you're unsure on MyCRA, right? So everyone can set up a MyCRA account. I highly recommend we set up a MyCRA account. Maybe we could actually put that in the show notes, Lindsay, just a link to where we sign up for that. So if you go in there, you'll be able to see notices of assessment, past tax returns, but also it'll tell you what the January 1st available contribution room is for your tax-free savings account. Now, it is technically up to you to track that. So CRA is going to put in there what they think it is. But if for some reason an institution that you deal with did not give the correct information to CRA and later CRA finds it out, then they can go back and charge you a penalty if you overcontributed. So make sure you kind of keep an eye on it on yourself or your advisor is doing that for you, hopefully, if you're working with an advisor. But that is a place where you can find out what you're able to contribute if you're not sure.
Mm-hmm. And I think we could also cover not understanding withdrawal rules.
Yeah. So not understanding the withdrawal rules can lead to overcontributions, which we just talked about. Mm-hmm. So the way the withdrawal rules work is, and the contribution rules is, if we go back to day one when the tax-free savings account was created, we were given $5,000 of contribution room. So I'll use that as the example. It's just a little easier to demonstrate. So if you were to put $5,000 in, you can't put any more in for the year. Now, what people were doing, and still to this day do to an extent, is they put the money in, and then they need to spend something, especially when they're using it as a savings account. So they take $1,000 back out. They'd spend the money, get another paycheck, and then they'd have some extra money. So they would put the $1,000 back in. But the problem is once you put the $5,000 in, again, I'm talking about year one, then that's it for the year. You could take the whole $5,000 out. It does not matter. You cannot put any back in. That does not mean you lose that contribution room though. You just have to wait until January of the following year. January of the next year, you get the new contribution room for whatever the government tells us we get for the next year. Plus, you can put in whatever you took out the year before. Mm. And just to add on to that point, if the money grew, so you put $5,000 in, it grew to $7,000, you took the $7,000 out. Well, next year, you can put that entire $7,000 back in. So not just $5,000, but the entire amount back in, plus again, what that new contribution room is for the next year.
Mm-hmm. And I think this one might feed into the overcontribution mistake, but having TFSAs at multiple institutions.
Yes, Lindsay, very insightful. We're kind of down the same hole here.
Yeah.
And that is, if you have tax-free savings accounts at multiple institutions, then that means that no one person is kind of tracking how much you're putting in there. So if you're working with multiple people. So number one, this is why, you know, when we're talking to people about onboarding, we're very upfront. We think you should choose one advisor to work with. Diversification of advisors is typically not a good idea. Now, that said, you want to make sure you trust that advisor, you have a good relationship, you understand what they're doing, all that kind of stuff. But when you find that person, you want to work with one person because they're going to make sure that you're not making mistakes like over-contributing to your tax-free savings accounts. Now, this actually happened with one of our clients. They had their investments here. Well, they do have all their investments here. They received a small amount. I think it was inheritance. It was like $10,000. So it wasn't an overly large amount of money, but there was something there. It went into the bank account and the bank teller said, oh, you should throw that into a tax-free savings account. So they put it into a tax-free savings account, like a savings account, just kind of forgetting that they already have tax-free savings accounts that are invested for their retirement. Mm-hmm. And so we had no idea about it. And then a year later, they got a penalty notice that they had over-contributed. And we went back through our records. We have all the contributions. No, we haven't done an over-contribution. And it turned out, oh yeah, she forgot she had thrown this money in this other account. So not having TFSAs at multiple institutions will just hopefully prevent you from having an overcontribution just by not coordinating the total amount all in one place.
Mm-hmm. Now, how about using your TFSA as a day trading account?
Yeah. So the CRA has ruled on this that excessive trading can be considered a business activity. And so what the result of that is if you have some big gains in your tax-free savings account, and there's a lot of trading going on in there, then they're just going to tax you on those gains. You're not going to get to avoid the tax. So you don't want to be in there buying and selling frequently because it's not going to work out for more than one reason. One, if it actually works out, you're going to have to pay the tax on it. But two, the reality is that most of you who are listening to this, and that's not me trying to be judgmental about who's listening to this, but even if you're a professional portfolio manager, if you're just constantly trading, you're probably not going to be doing better than the market anyway. So there's no real reason to try to do that. So you might as well just have a good long-term strategy that's kind of geared towards your goals and just let it work and accumulate that tax-free growth.
That's right. Markets work, right?
That's right.
Yes. So finally, our mistake number 8, no successor, holder, or beneficiary named on the account.
Sure. So one of the great things about a tax-free savings account is that when we pass away, that tax-free savings account does not have to go into our estate. So if it does go into our estate, it comes out of the tax-free savings account and then it has to go through probate. So we have to pay, in Ontario, works out to about 1.5% in probate fees. And also it could be held up in there for 6 months, a year, 2 years, however long it takes for that estate to be wound up, right? So you can name a beneficiary, or if you're in a relationship, so married or common law, you can name a successor holder. A successor holder, if you have that option, that's what you want to choose. Because what that does is if you're the pass away and your spouse is still living, then your spouse is able to roll in your entire tax-free savings account into their tax-free savings account. I mean, this recently just happened. Mm-hmm. We're actually dealing with it right now, one of our clients. So, you know, they have well over $100,000. Both of them have over $100,000 in tax-free savings accounts. And so the one spouse is passing away, that entire over $100,000 will roll into the other spouse's tax-free savings account. And now they have a tax-free savings account with well over $200,000 and they don't lose any of that contribution room. And there was no tax paid to make that transition. So that's a great benefit. And it's also avoided the estate. So there's no probate to pay. Now, if you don't have a spouse, so you're not married, not in a common law relationship, you don't have that successor holder option, but you can name a beneficiary, which is also great because it still allows you to avoid probate. It passes outside the estate. And so the advantages here really are that it passes quickly to your beneficiary. So family, whatever it is, could be done in as little as a couple of weeks, but you don't have to wait for the estate to settle. And while you lose the tax-free savings account contribution room, like it comes out of the account, but you don't have to pay any tax. So that's still a great option.
Mm-hmm. And you can always make your beneficiary a charity as well. That's something that we've seen here, people listing a charity as their beneficiary on their TFSA.
Yeah, especially if there's no kids, right? So that kind of opens up another can of worms. It might not be our first option of what we would do, but it is an option as well, for sure.
So any final thoughts on the mistakes retirees make with their TFSAs?
Maybe just a couple action items. So one is if you're using your tax-free savings account as a savings account and you have non-registered money invested, we want to make sure you're looking at how can you get those investments to your tax-free savings account. The timing might be good to do it now if you haven't done it because capital gain taxes look like they're going up June 25th. So if you have to pay some capital gains anyway, it might be a good time to do it before June 25th. Now, there's some other nuances to that, but the point is get that money into a tax-free environment where it can grow tax-free. Also, consolidate. If you have multiple tax-free savings accounts, consolidate to one place to make sure that you are maximizing the benefit without taking the chance of over-contributing because you don't have good records or no one institution is tracking what you've done for contributions.
Great. Well, thanks, Joe.
All right. Thank you, Lindsay.
Investment services are provided through Matthews & Associates Investments of Aligned Capital Partners Incorporated, an approved trade name of Aligned Capital Partners, Inc., ACPI. Only investment-related products and services are offered through ACPI/Matthews & Associates Investments of ACPI and covered by the Canadian Investor Protection Fund. Tax planning, financial planning, and insurance services are provided through Matthews & Associates. Matthews & Associates is an independent company separate and distinct from ACPI/Matthews & Associates Investments of ACPI. Matthews & Associates are not licensed tax professionals, and you should consult with your tax advisor before acting on any recommendations.
Visit retirementplanningsimplified.ca and join the Retirement Planning Simplified community,
where we explore the complicated world of retirement planning while embracing life beyond the numbers.
As a member of our community, you'll receive insights,
tips,
and the latest retirement planning tools
straight from us to you.